Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Welcome back, everyone. This is the Flow Track Podcast, and it is day three of the USATF Outdoor Championships. Here to recap it all, I'm Kevin. He is Gordon. Gordon, good evening, and thank you for once again hosting.
Of course. We've had three different pizzas. We had DiGiorno, we had HEB, we had Red Baron, trying them all, enjoying track and field, and another great day. Kind of started off with a bang with what Sha'Carri did in the 200 meter prelim, what Sydney obviously did in the 400, some more stuff going on in Kingston, in Jamaica. We had an interesting race in the British Championships as well, which we'll talk about later on in the pod. I didn't put it in the run of show, but we'll just talk about it. But yeah, overall, another great day of track. Can't excited for tomorrow when we get into the more finals, but yeah, we should dive right into it. What are we starting with?
Yeah, let's start with the women's quarter. I mean, there was awesome races top to bottom. Like, every race was interesting today. There was either a upset, an incredible time, or just something bizarre happened in the race that made it compelling to watch. But let's start with the women's 400 meters. And Sydney McLaughlin ran the race that everybody was waiting for in that event. 48.74 takes her PB all the way down from 49.5 to 48.74, just 0.04 off Sonya Richard Ross's American record, becomes the third American woman in history to run in the 48s, and looked dominant, looked smooth, looked like the Sydney who's broken all those world records at Hayward Field in the 400 meters. I guess we can't be too surprised based on how good she looked in the semifinals and going back to the first round. But to go all the way from where she was just a couple weeks ago down to 48.74 is impressive, even on the Sydney scale of we just can never be surprised by how great she is. That's still pretty surprising how it all came together so perfectly, Gordon.
Oh, yeah. I mean, especially when you flash back 5 weeks ago where she ran her late season, well, not even, she scratches the LA meet, then she runs in Paris and runs a weird split 400, and we're thinking like, what's going on? This doesn't seem like a Sydney who's locked in a typical schedule. But we just had to wait, be a little patient, because now that a few weeks have gone by, she has run 49.71, 49.51, 49.79, 49.60, and now 48 seconds. It's just unreal. 48.74 officially, right? That's the time, 48.74. Mm-hmm. It's the number 10 all time ever, 10th fastest woman to ever run the 400. And in her first season of actually trying in the event, she's already top 10 in the world ever. It's incredible.
She was asked a few weeks ago about the world record, and her response was, well, let me just get to 48 seconds first. And I hope this doesn't then just bring on new questions about the world record, because that's still way far out there. What this does do is it really sets the stage for a great open quarter, because the rest of the world has been really good. And I know Paulino's already run under 49 seconds. She can certainly go faster. We saw during the NCAA season what Wilson and Adeleke did. We've seen what Nasser has done. Femke Bol, if she decides to run the quarter. Sydney is now the clear favorite. That's obvious after tonight, but this is still a stacked event in 2023. And if it's continuing the same pattern that we saw in the hurdles, Gordon, what did she do? She'd run fast at USA's, and then would she slow down for Worlds or Olympics?
No, she ran a little bit faster.
She gets faster. She gets faster. And I think we can expect something similar, especially because she's still relatively new to the event in terms of figuring it out. And I just don't think that her coach, Bobby Kersey, said, hey, July 8th, that's where the apex of our season is going to be. This has always been about doing it in August, but this is a good checkpoint along the way. And she passed it with flying colors, man. I mean, I thought she'd go sub 49. I didn't think 49.7.
Really? 49.7 and sub 49 are kind of similar.
It's a whole quarter second, and it takes it from she basically
ran. No, it's
not
a quarter second. It's like it's a fifth of a second.
0.25 seconds is a quarter of a second.
So she thought she would run 48.99.
I just said she'd get under 49, and that's right around what Paulino had run. So it takes her from being right near where somebody else is to an entire two tenths clear from that. I'm just saying. I didn't think I could be surprised. And yet again, the time popped up on the clock and it wasn't a 50-68 400 meter hurdle. Whoa. But yeah. It was still, oh my gosh, look at where she was and look where she is now.
To be honest, it wasn't surprising to me. If she ran 48.1 or 48.2, I would be surprised. But 48 high, that's what Sydney should be able to do. That's a floor. And I think she's going to run faster. I think she runs at least 48 low if she continues running the 400. She was asked in her press post-race interview about Worlds, 400 hurdles. Obviously, she has Dubai in the 400 hurdles, and now she's qualified in the 400. She could win either one. She'll be the favorite in whatever event she chooses. She was asked, which one are you running? And she said she is scratching both. No, I'm kidding. She said, I have no idea. That's what she said. She says, yeah. I have no clue. Which, do you think she actually has no idea? Or do you think she just doesn't want to tell us yet?
I mean, I don't know Bobby Kersey, but he sounds like a man of mystery based on how other people talk about him. You don't even know the workouts in the middle of the workout. That's what I've heard about Bobby Kersey workouts. He just says, run a 200, run a 100, run a 250. So it's entirely possible that he hasn't revealed the plan. She's going to run the quarter. It would be very surprising at this point if she doesn't run the quarter. We ran through all the scenarios by which we thought the quarter wouldn't happen. Her running 48.74 was not one of the scenarios where she scratches it. We're not that far away from Budapest. And I just don't think you'd want to just, okay, now I'm going to go start doing some hurdle races to tune up.
There's technique too to the hurdling. So like,
and I know she said, you know, you can work on both and they're obviously very related in skill set, but you have to clear 10 barriers and that's going to take at least a little bit of work. I'd say stay locked in on this. Get a even faster time, move up even more on the all-time list, and then set yourself up for the double in Paris.
That's what you think at the end day? That's the end goal? Maybe she doesn't run the 400 hurdles at all this year and just saves it for 2024.
Yeah. Yes, and that's a total guess. That's not me knowing anything that anybody else doesn't do, but that's been my thought process ever since she ran that first quarter. Also, I mean, we want to see her get tested, right? Because everybody always wants to see great athletes go against other great athletes. She's going to get tested in the open quarter. She'd get tested in the 400 hurdles, but we've already seen what that looks like. We've already seen her battle Femke Bol. We've already seen her go against the best of all time in that event. Could they possibly pull off an upset? Well, you never say never, but it doesn't look likely. Now she's even faster in the quarter. But the 400, we're still going to see a great race. So people should be, even if you were a 400 hurdle fan, you should be still happy that Sydney's running a race with great competition.
One last thing. This is not really related, but I'm just going to say it anyway, because this is like a 2025 prediction. But imagine if Sydney, there's a high chance she's going to win Worlds in the open 400, which would give her a bye to the 400 in 2025. And then she decides to, in 2024, win the 400 hurdles Diamond League final. Mm-hmm. Which then will give her a bye to the 400 hurdles in 2025. So she could go into 2025 with two byes in both events and basically, you know, perfect her double, do the double in 2024 at the Olympic level and then run it back a little bit easier because you won't have to qualify at USA's for 2025 double. Anyway.
File that under chess, not checkers, folks. That's what Gordon's playing over here tonight. I also want to give a shout out credit to Britton Wilson, 49.79, coming back after a tough NCAAs, throwing yourself right back into the mix. Wasn't a PR. That's okay. She made a world championship team. And then how about Talitha Diggs? Gordon runs a PB 49.93. So the U.S. is going to send two women. One has run 49.1 this year. The other one's 48.7. And another woman who's sub 50. So this 400 is going to be great in Budapest.
Oh, yeah. Big kind of way to time her season well for Talitha Diggs. I mean, obviously, she probably won a little bit more at the NCAA level. But for her to still grind through an SEC-type schedule and still come out with a sub-50 at USA's, maintain, you know, your spot on a USA team, which is hard to do. The 400, it is not nice sometimes. You can have one great race and you're on the team, and then you have one bad year and you may never see it again. And so for her to, like, respond to last year with back-to-back making teams, I think sets herself up well for the future. Be like, all right, I now did it back-to-back years. I can constantly be in the top three mix year in and year out to extend to have a long 400-meter career.
Let's move on. Let's go to the men's 1500. Next up, the men's 1500. One of the races we had circled. It was interesting even in the preliminary round when Cooper Tier went out. And we were wondering, hey, Yared Nuguse, big favorite. How's he going to play his hand? You thought it would be a 335-ish race. I thought he'd go even faster. He'd go full gas all the way. Ran 334.9, so credit to you for almost nailing the time. And this did not go how I thought it would, because I did not have Joe Wascom then passing Yared Nuguse in the last lap, and then Yared Nuguse countering the move, regaining the lead, and taking it all the way to the tape to win. Wascom set a PR for second. Hawker got the third spot ahead of Prekel, Wynn, and Kessler. This is an exciting one. This was an exciting men's 1500. I thought Yared was going to take care of business. I thought a little more experience under his belt this year, he'd be able to manage it. And I think that's what this was. This was a – obviously, Yared is incredibly talented, and his PR speaks for itself and better than anybody else in the field. But this was also experience, because it takes a little bit of mental strength to get past in that last lap and have a whole field behind you and then not – panic, not question yourself. Nuguse didn't do any of that, regained his footing, was fine, didn't panic, and then got to the line first.
Yeah, and I was kind of surprised. There was a moment where I was like, maybe Nuguse is going to fall back to third or something, but he ran that like someone who is clearly a little bit more talented than the rest of the field. Like some people who have a fast PB, remember Nuguse, this is his, you know, he made the team in 2021, but last year had a bad 1500 final. So there was a little bit of an unknown, like maybe Nuguse, you know, has a fast time trial time, but, you know, gets back-to-back poor 1500 meter performances, finals performances. And you thought that could have happened with 200 meters to go when Wascom made that big move. But Nuguse stayed calm, stayed in position, and then just slowly, just like, nope, I am a three sub 330 guy. I'm going to pass you in the final 100 meters. And I am going to show that, like, I'm not a flash in the pan runner. I can make multiple teams. And, you know, it's more than just even winning USA. It's like he is trying to get a medal at the global level.
In the chat, Beef Boy, Gordon was right. Say it. I'll say it. Full credit. Gordon, you're right. I bring up all the time when you're wrong. Yeah. And it's often. So I will give you credit.
Pretty often.
Well, 334.9 is pretty close to 335. You nailed that one. Hawker had a nice kick at the end. It was the Hawker kick that we saw a couple of years ago. It wasn't going from fifth to first. It was moving up from, you know, fifth or sixth up into third place. But maybe with a couple more weeks of training, and he can make another step forward and get back in the mix. It's just with Ingebrigtsen and how deep the rest of the men's 15 is, it's just so hard to even make that final. Now, Nuguse, we expect him to, but everybody else, it's going to be a battle just to make that final because of how good the rest of the world is right now in the 15.
Yeah, and now there's obviously the standard aspect here. Joe Wascom has a high enough world ranking right now, so he should be fine getting in on world ranking. Again, you have till the end of the month to run the standard, which I'm sure Wascom and Prekel, who are training partners, will probably be running for the standard. And there's a little uniqueness where Prekel may think like, hey, my comp, I need the guy ahead of me to not get the standard, but he's my training partner and I want the standard. So I'm sure Andy Powell's going to have to sit down Wascom, and Prekel will be like, hey, Prekel, Wascom gets first in line here with these record, with these.
But you think but you think the ranking
ranking should be fine. But in a, you know, rankings can do weird things.
Change.
You never know. Yeah. So this is, it is interesting. Your teammate, you and your teammate both don't have the standard, and you know,
right.
Just saying, could be interesting.
Another dynamic. Consistent finish for another consistent finish for Prekel. Also want to mention Centro got 10th. Good interview that's up on the YouTube page and our site now with Centro. I mean, he's always a good interview, particularly in times like this. He always answers questions, I think, thoughtfully. And I think he had a lot of interesting things to say. And I thought, listen, if you said 2 months ago Centro was going to get 10th at USA's, a lot of people would have taken that and said, that's a good result. He's running like 407 miles in Australia. How is he going to get to 10th at USA's? So he said he's still going through Paris 2024. I think he's in a much better position than he was 2 months ago. Still going to be tough to get into top three positions for Paris. But you can see it now. You can at least see a path. Like, he showed enough here. Like, he was back, but he wasn't entirely out of this thing. And to even get through the final, like, there were people who didn't even make it to this final. He's in a much better position than he was 2 months ago. Wouldn't happen in the top three or five right now, but he, at least there's a path.
The thing is, only three people make the team. And you look at Nagus, like, Nagus is making the team. Hawker now is showing like he can make multiple teams. It's going to be Centro fighting for like one spot. So,
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah. It's gonna be, but you know how it happened. Yeah, there's injuries. There's weird things that happen. People going out early in the rounds. And I'm just saying, this is, it's just way different being in, make, being able to make a final versus showing up to the meet and just not being competitive. And he was competitive.
Yeah,
he was
competitive. Yeah, for sure.
All right, you want to move to the women's 1500 now? The women's 1500. Yeah, so this race was awesome. And it was so exciting having a Thing Mo in there. Just a special guest, a Thing Mo. It was like getting an
world
awesome,
champion.
Yeah, champion. Like an awesome actress or actor to show up on like your favorite television show. That's what this was like, watching a Thing Mo run the 15. And we didn't know if she'd run the final. We didn't really know what would happen. Remember 2 years ago, she had a really good indoor season where she was clicking off this longer stuff. And then she went to Millrose and really stuck her nose in it. And the pace went out crazy fast. And she didn't even end up finishing that race. But I still thought, man, she's in really good 1500 mile shape. She's going to run something fast. And she's never got a chance to get in the right race, because by the time she ran Millrose, indoor season's basically over. And then we'd moved on. But it was just cool seeing her in this. And then with each passing lap, you're just wondering, how easy is this for a Thing Mo? Just the pace. But then you get to the later laps and you're like, all right, the pace is easy, but the distance is long. We're talking about a 49 second 400 meter runner out there. And she held it all the way to about 100 or so to go. And then there was a big group behind her with Hiltz, McGee, Johnson, Wiley. And it ended up being Hiltz with the big kick, 403.10, and the win. A Thing Mo, 403.44. PBs, how about that? PBs in a 1500-meter final. Yeah, of course.
7 second PB.
And then the battle for third and fourth, it was, if you knew that a Thing probably isn't going to run the Worlds, it's less consequential. But if you're just looking at top three, we had Sinclair Johnson falling across the line 1/100 behind Corey McGee, and then Addie Wiley in fifth, 404.25. So I'm guessing Mo will not run the 15 at the World Championships, which would mean Hiltz, McGee, and Johnson is your team.
Yeah, to be honest, my biggest surprise other than this is Mo actually being in it. I thought that, as we know how Mo is world-class talent, could become one of the greatest 800 meter runners to ever walk this earth.
Mm-hmm.
10 years from now, I still was yet to be sold on like she could be competitive with the Hiltzes and the McGees and the Johnsons of this era, because we hadn't really seen it. And so I honestly was kind of shocked. I was like, I thought Mo was gonna kind of chill, maybe fight for eighth place, make the final. I had no, there was 0% in my brain that was thinking Mo's going to be in it with a lot, with 100 to go. And you may think, wait, Mo might win this. It would kind of remind me of when Donovan Brazier ran his 334, 335 randomly in a Portland meet. It's like, whoa, Donovan Brazier can run the 15? This is wild. Now that I see Mo do this, if you give Mo a whole year of training in the 1500, she's going to be a sub-4 1500 meter runner, and she'll be able to run in the 350s, I think. Like, this is just raw talent running 403 in a kickers type race. I mean, I don't think it's...
I think what helped... Yeah. So I think what helped Mo was the splits weren't too crazy off the bat. That's and then like the middle lap, 67-67. I think if it was either really quick off the top or, I mean, super duper slow. I don't think anybody's going to do the super duper slow stuff with her in there. Although I don't even know how the other competitors viewed her, because did they think, hey, that's a spot that's not going to be taken up. Let's like not even worry about it. But I just... Yeah. It ended up being in a good spot where it's just like, all right, I can get into a rhythm. I can start running 67s, and then I could try to just hang on and close, as opposed to there being a bunch of surges and being some stuff that just an 800-meter runner or an 800/400-meter runner isn't as familiar with as someone who's run a bunch of 1500s in championships or has run a bunch of 1500s in Europe and is just used to that level of racing, that style of racing, I should say. But how about Hills with the close?
Yeah. Mike Smith, 2-0 now. Woody Kincaid wins the 10K. Nikki Hiltz here wins the women's 1500. Hiltz can kick. Now, the question is, can Hiltz run with the Ethiopians and the Kenyans and kick in a 350-ish race, like a 358 to 353 race, which is what you're going to need to do to medal? There's no Faith Kipyegon has this race on lock. The question is there an opportunity for Hiltz with this kick to sneak into a silver or to a bronze or into a fourth place finish? It's kind of hard to tell
because
the kick on 403 is, you know, how does that translate to 357 kicking? But hey, Corey McGee and Sinclair Johnson, they make finals, right? Then Corey McGee made the final. And
a good point. That's a good point. And this is a team that can have three to the final. And you're right, the top end. And I thought about that time when we're talking about Mo's potential in the event, because you're saying, you know, Bobby Kersey had all those quotes and everybody was reading what they wanted to out of those quotes. But one of the things is there's just a huge difference between being three. Where are you at in the 350s? Because there's a woman. Well, there's someone now in the 349, but the 359 is something entirely different than what is taking place right now in the women's 1500, which is, not just one person, but a lot of people capable of running that. And we should mention, Kenya just announced their team recently. It's Kipyegon in the 15-5 double, which I absolutely love. And I hope Sifan Hassan runs the 5. So now we have those two linking up again. Before it was Hassan going down into Kipyegon's territory. Now it's Kipyegon going up a little bit, although Sifan Hassan's also a marathoner. I digress. Just something that's fun that I've been watching. Let's move now to the women's high hurdles, which is a real close battle. We knew this was going to be a tight race. It's so deep. All of the big names pretty much made the final. There wasn't any huge upsets in the semis.
100-meter hurdles.
Yeah. Isn't that what I said?
Just for our producer, high hurdles. That name is not.
Yeah, Tom's cooking over there, man.
I'm just helping Tom out. Tom probably didn't know high hurdle.
Hey, Tom, let Tom cook. I got the list up right here. He's all good. So Nia Ali, previous world champion, gets it done. That's so awesome. 12:37. Kenny Harrison 12:42, and then the battle for that final spot. Masai Russell over Alaysha Johnson. Russell gets it from the inside. She was in two. Johnson was in three. By 0.002 seconds. They're both were at 12:46. Tia Jones, 12:50. This race was just tight across the board, and it lived up to the billing of, man, this is wild. I don't know anybody who can break the correct top three, and it's going to be close. Those are the things we knew about it, and that's what happened.
Yeah. kind of there's a lot of depth in the women's 100 hurdles. We're seeing it here. I could have seen Johnson, Jones, or Marshall, or Armstrong, 4th through 7th, I could have seen winning this race. And when you think the 4th through 7th runners you think could win, shows that it's deep. It's going to be a good team. All three of these women will make the final, I think, at Worlds if things go as planned. And Nia Ali, you know, making a comeback. She won in 2019. And then 2020, 2021, 2022, not really as much in the mix. And now, U.S. champion again. And if you're a U.S. champion, yes, there's Jasmine Camacho-Quinn out there and Toby Amundsen out there. But if you're a U.S. champion, you can medal at Worlds. And for Nia Ali to do it from 2019 to 2023, potentially, would be a pretty impressive feat.
Very impressive feat. Very impressive feat.
Sure.
Very, let's talk.
Pretty. Very.
Yeah, let's go to the – let's stay on people jumping over stuff. Let's go women's steeplechase. Women's steeplechase now. Ooh. I mean, both these steeples were a lot of fun. So Emma Coburn comes in with a 10-meet win streak, U.S. titles dating back 2013, I guess 2012. Gets upset. Chrissy Gear gets the win. And if I told you at the beginning of the year – Emma Coburn's not going to win it, you would have said Courtney Fredericks. And if I told you yesterday Emma Coburn's not going to win it, you probably would have said Courtney Wayman. But it ended up being Chrissy Gear, the one to break the streak, and did it with a close. I saw on the post-race interview on the broadcast, Coburn was very upfront about, my mistake, I should have pushed harder with two to go, because she knows that Chrissy can close that well. And she just hung around. She was behind Wayman as well, and then went past Waymit, and then ultimately Coburn off the last barrier. 9:12.81, that's a PB for her. Coburn, 9:13, and then Waymit, 9:14. That's your squad. I should also mention Fredericks, who hit a barrier in the semis, didn't start this race. So the team's going to be Gear, Coburn, and Waymit. Oh, and Chrissy Gear's was 11-second PR? 11-second PR? Is that right?
Something like that, yeah. Chrissy Gear, Furman awesome. To Arkansas. At Furman, primarily focused on the steeplechase. At Arkansas, primarily focused on the 1500. Remember her going up against Caitlin Toohey in that epic 4x15 at Penn Relays. So she was like, she knew the steeple, but then she kind of abandoned it for a year, for like 2 to 3 years. And then now that she's decided to re-go back into the steeple world, she's the one to break Emma Coburn's streak. And I don't think we understand the like craziness of this streak. Emma Coburn won 10 steeplechases in a row. 10 U.S. steeplechases in a row. And she was probably the favorite to win the 11th. And I don't think anyone on their bingo card
almost
had Chrissy Gear.
Almost did it.
Being the almost got 11th. Had Chrissy Gear being the one to snap that streak. It's an unreal achievement for Coburn. So we got to give that greatness some respect. But also an unreal achievement for Gear. To be the one to snap that streak, because you're not snapping it with Coburn being like, you know, on the downswing. She's still, you know, she was almost going to win. Sure. And so for Gear to be a former steepler to then a current steepler and then break Coburn's streak, very impressive all around.
Men's steeple. This is high drama. Kenneth Rooks falls, I guess, 2 laps into the race, he said the runner in front of him stutter step, kind of threw off his rhythm, ended up going over it with his hands and then fell, and then people were jumping over him. But he got right back with the group. Like, if you look at the splits on here, he lost 7 spots from 400 to 800, and he ran a 70.9 for that lap. Now, these are steeple splits, so everybody else ran a 77. But then he immediately switched into 77s. And then by the 4th or 5th lap or so, they had slowed down with some, you know, 78 or 79. He kept going with the 77s and then was right there and had the most left at the end, which you would not think would be the case when someone was literally on the track a few laps previous. 8:16. 78 Keeter, and then Updike 2 and 3. Furlick was there too. There was just so much movement too in that last 200 meters. It was four guys clear away for three spots, and it ends up going to Rooks with a a comeback for the ages. So much fun.
Yeah. Look at 100 meter splits. He basically had a 20.58 second 100 meter split at the 800 meter mark, compared to the 17 to 16 range for all the other 100 meter splits. So you lost like 3 seconds over 100 meters.
Yeah. But anybody who's fallen in a race knows that it's not just about the time you lose. There's a psychological toll that takes. Yeah. There's the energy that you have to expend to get, and then you have to question yourself. Okay, they always say, don't get it back all at once. But you see the entire race. You see your chance to make a U.S. team, because he was one of the guys who could do it. You see that drifting away, and he clawed it back, and then he got in there. And I, even 200 to go, and the broadcaster, oh my gosh, Rooks is back in. Rooks is making a move. I thought, yeah, okay, but they're going to have another gear here. Like, Keter's going to turn it up a little bit more. Updike's going to turn up a little bit more. Furlick's going to turn up a little bit more. And he says he's not going to – Rooks won't have that probably, because he spent that energy back on the second lap. But he had it. He had what I thought everybody else would have. And BYU, NCAA champion, and now the U.S. champion going to Worlds.
Yeah, well, not 100% officially going to Worlds.
Well, because I guess,
you see, no one has this
– stupid, so –
no one has a standard, or some people do, but the Kenneth Rooks world ranking is very high. So even if he doesn't chase, get the time, he should get in it comfortably with his world ranking.
Wait, say that again.
Kenneth Rooks will be has in... a really good world ranking, so he should get in no matter what. Only
what about Keter?
Only like 14 people have the standard. So, and it's a field of 36 that go. So majority of the people don't have the standard.
He'll What's get the in standard? 814?
815?
That's fast, man.
815. Yeah. But currently he is like, he's there. He's fine. He's ranked 27th when it comes to world ranking.
All right, Gordon says he's fine. So we will believe Gordon. It's just such a cooler story, if I'm able to say. And then he races way out of the team, and then you have to come in and be like, parentheses. But maybe not officially yet, Kevin, because charts and graphs and numbers.
Charts and graphs and numbers?
I get it, but it's frustrating.
Yeah.
It's frustrating. Men's 400. Let's talk about the men's 400, which came right after Sydney's run. Bryce Dedman, felt good about him coming in. Thought he was under the radar just because he ran a fast time at a lower profile meet, but wins it, gets a PB too, 44.22. Norwood makes his first individual team, 44.39. Quincy Hall right there, 44.41. Justin Robinson almost runs 44.47, but he'll be in the relay pool along with Willie, the main 4x4 relay pool, we're assuming, with Robinson, Willie, and Bowling, who went 4.56 in this race. But Bryce Dedman, 400-meter champion. Also, we should mention Michael Norman's on this team if he wants the spot, because he has a bye. He scratched out of the first round of the 200 after not making out of the first round of the 100. So not really sure what we're going to get out of Michael Norman the rest of the season, but U.S. at the very least will send Dedman, Norwood, and Hall.
The three pros go 1, 2, 3, and then the five collegiates finish 4th through 8th. Shows a little bit of normalcy there, right? It makes sense that the pros should be faster than the college kids. Doesn't always happen in a lot of events. But for here, Dedman, Norwood, and Hall. Hall, man, having the transition from 400 hurdling to open 400, he made the move, and it was a good move. It worked out.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes people make moves to different events. Doesn't always work out. And it worked out for some of these athletes. Like, it worked out for Hall, gets third. Worked out for Bowling. He makes the relay team. It worked out for Sydney and Britain. They go 1-2 in the 400 instead of in the 400 hurdles. So these people moving events is working out.
Yeah.
Thing Mo, it worked out for a Thing Mo.
It's bet on yourself. Or you could just say talent travels.
Worked out for Chrissy Gear going from 1500 to the steeple. You know, people moving events and it's working.
All right, let's talk prelims. So that's mostly men's and women's 200. So let's start with the women's
Yeah, 400 hurdles and men. 400 hurdles, we're not going to talk about. Nothing.
Chalk.
Nothing
it was all chalk. All chalk.
Chalk. Okay.
Yeah. Chalk, chalk, chalk across the board. We'll break those down.
Let's talk about tomorrow. The men's 110 first. Men's 110 meter hurdles.
Sure.
I think, you know, Holloway and Tinch and Roberts all look good. I think the big weird thing coming out of here was Devin Allen was the 14th qualifier out of 16. He did say in his post-race interview that he injured his calf after New York, the New York Grand Prix meet, and he's kind of been nursing that, hasn't been able to train as much, so he's trying to take it easy on that. He mentioned, like, he has training camp. Like, he needs to be healthy for training camp because he needs to make the Eagles roster.
Yeah,
so there may be a situation here where Devin Allen might not be a 13-0 guy in these next two rounds tomorrow, and opens up a spot for Tinch, Roberts, and whoever that third guy is going to be to join Holloway. I mean, Britt ran 13:20 here. Eric Edwards, Trey Cunningham had the season's best. So Devin Allen not being 100% does kind of change the dynamics of the final, which will happen tomorrow.
I feel really good about Roberts. I feel really good about Tinch. Holloway obviously already has the bye, so it doesn't really matter. I think it's going to be open for that one spot. It is interesting. Cunningham, 13:30, season's best after how fast he ran last year. I mean, if he can get going, he'd be right up there with Roberts and Tinch. But as is, yeah, you got to have Britt in there. You got to be talking about Edwards, Freddie Crittenden. Robert Dunning won his heat. He won heat four. So I think there's going to be I mean, that final could be, okay, we feel good about Tinch and Roberts, and then it's going to be a blanket finish for that final spot.
And Tinch, he did the long jump today. He jumped 8 meters in the long jump today. Got fifth.
It's awesome. Now, when I see someone who could win a U.S. title in the high hurdles and then gets fifth in the long jump, I immediately think, is this person in the top 10 of collegiate athletes? And just no, I definitely don't think, you know, he's going to qualify. There's definitely 10 people better. There's got to be a longer list. Also, Gordon, I want you to weigh in. You have some media criticism on the Grant Holloway interview. You're very upset about this. You're sitting right next to me. And you've been around Grant Holloway a lot. Like, you are to Grant Holloway, or at one point, you were to Grant Holloway what Brian Windhorst was to LeBron James. You didn't move to Gainesville. But you had a lot of Grant Holloway coverage, let's just say. You knew everything that was going on with Grant. What was your issue with the interview?
5 to 7 minute interview, great. They're asking Grant about emojis and what's on his bracelets. They asked him about the Jamaican guys, which I thought was fun. They asked him about the Japanese athletes.
Good questions.
They asked him about the world competition. Great questions. But they didn't ask him a simple question. Are you running tomorrow? Are you running the final?
They didn't.
That's like not – because he didn't do it last year. Are we just assuming he's done? We could have gotten a simple answer. Are you running the final? And he would have been like, you'll find. He would have answered.
He would not have given a simple answer, though. I know.
But we could have Grant, at least got well a soundbite.
No, I think you should have asked. You're right. You should have asked. But hey, they did ask a lot of other good questions. Maybe somebody already thought someone else had asked it. Sometimes that happens. But that was the media critique minute with Gordon Mack.
Yeah. Sponsored by nobody.
200. And I'll close it out.
200.
Women's 200.
Well, men's 200, nothing happened. Everyone got through. A bunch of guys scratched.
Are you trying to do a little like cliffhanger situation here?
Well, I'm just saying, like Knighton, Curley, King, Coleman. Robert Gregory had the fastest time running 25. 20-0. I thought it was interesting that Christian Coleman decided to run the 200. We'll see if he actually runs through it. But with no Norman, no Laird, no Bowling, no Charleston, it looks like it's going to be a Coleman versus Curley versus Knighton versus Benarek, and then maybe a college kid. So we'll see. Anyway, to the women's 200, which was the story of the meet, potentially. Not really, but it was pretty damn interesting.
If it was the story of the meet and we're talking to it at minute 44, we've done a bad job. It was a very interesting story. I don't think it's the story of the meet or the story of the day. But Richardson runs 21:61 in heat number two, by far the fastest time. The wind was plus 2.6, so over the allowable wind. But she took this very seriously. She ran hard. You thought about the last 5 or 10 meters, she started to slow a bit. Is that right from your vantage point?
Yeah, she shut it down like 15 meters ago, maybe 20. Yeah.
But it's just interesting, and this is the situation we thought might happen. Hey, she wins the 100. She's feeling good. Is she going to roll that into the two? And it looks like she is. I mean, there's no guarantee that, you know, who's going to start in these races. You never know. But we have an awesome 200 brewing now with her, with Gabby Thomas, with Abby Steiner. Tamara Clark, who ran 22.05, she actually finished ahead of Steiner in her heat. So this is going to be a really good final and potentially a really fast final. It is funny, though, you look at these results for the win. It went 1.1, 2.6, 0.2, and then 2.0 even. Like Tanisha Terry won the fourth heat, 2.0 even. So it ended up being the only heat that had illegal wind. But I mean, that was the best 200 I've seen her run.
It's the best 200 we've seen a lot of people run. Like, yeah. It tied. Yeah. I mean, again, it is windy, but it's only windy by 0.6. Yeah. But Gabby Thomas's second all-time record, second all-time performance in U.S. history, was 21.61 at the trials. Yeah. So it tied Gabby Thomas's mark. Again, Gabby's time was legal. This isn't. Yeah. So you assume maybe it's more of a 21.6 high or 21.7 low. But still, if Sha'Carri's doing that with shutting it down and we give her a legal win, she will run in the 21.5s.
All in the game says that 21.61, 2.6 converts to a 21.80 in 0.0.
I don't believe that.
Find out tomorrow. We'll get to see tomorrow. We don't need to guess about this. We can watch it tomorrow. Even if the wind is illegal, it's just having her in the same race with Thomas and with Steiner and with Clark, it'll give you a good idea of where she measures up. And we should also mention, while we're talking about the 200, that somebody made their season debut today. Shelly-Ann Fraser-Pryce.
7 months, maybe a few more if you count the months in 2022. But it took many months, but we finally saw Shelly-Ann Fraser-Pryce run in Jamaica. And she ran the fastest time in the prelims. 22.3 or 22.4? I forget. It's 22. God dang it. I remembered. That's probably
Gordon. I don't struggling right now.
We prepare, we do all of our research, and then I don't even remember what she ran. She ran 22.39. So that was close. 22.39, 0.7 wind. She wins her heat. That's a good performance, in my opinion, especially as a rust buster. And it makes me think that Shelly-Ann will be in decent shape for what? Decent in her terms of decent. Decent for her is like 10.8, 10.7 shape.
Yeah.
When it comes to worlds. Because if you run 22.3, that should be fine. And we'll see if she, you know, how she does tomorrow in the Jamaican final. But it does make me get then excited. It's like, I need to see Shelly run 100. Now that she's run, let's get her out into some of those diamond leagues or continental tours, run 100 so we can see where you're at to go up against Sha'Carri, Sharika, and Tolu, and Alfred.
If she goes out tomorrow, let's just say she runs 21.9.
21.9, yeah. That's what I was thinking.
Just say, for example, but if she puts out a not an all-time time for her, but like a very good time, then you're thinking, man, her starting later on in the season, that could actually be a benefit when it comes time for Budapest. Not that, you know, she gets to pick and choose her races, and I'm sure she would have liked to race earlier if she could have. But it just, you're going to have the race count low, and some people are going to wear out at the latter part of the season, and maybe she's running fresh later on in the season because she's not running as much. Great to see her out there. I'm excited. I'm excited for that final model too.
Yeah. Anything else?
No, I think that's it. I mean, we got the last day tomorrow. That's another, is that another 11 p.m. start on the live show? I think it is.
Oh, 10 p.m.
Oh, no.
10 p.m.
10. Okay, cool. Another 10. Good, because I was about to say you might need to find a replacement. So we're going to have the men's and women's 200, the men's high hurdles, the women's and men's eights, the four-meter hurdles, both the 5,000s. Man, there's a lot. Tomorrow's show might be
okay, let's do this. Let's end the podcast with us doing rapid first place predictions for all of the track events. We'll go back first. Men's 200. Who's winning?
Knighton.
I agree. Women's 200.
Richardson.
I agree. Men's 110 hurdles.
Tinch.
I agree. Women's 8.
Ajay.
I'm going Rogers. Men's 8.
Hopple.
I'm going Sumner. Guy just signs a deal with Adidas. He's feeling good.
Love it.
Why not?
Love it. Love the pick.
But I do think the team is going to be Hopple, Murphy, and Harris, but I'm picking Sumner to win. I don't know how that's going to work out in my brain.
Wow. Hedge.
I'm hedging. So pick Sumner, but the team I'm picking is Hopple, Murphy, Harris, which means Sumner wouldn't win, but Sumner. All right. Women's 400 hurdles. That's easy.
It's easy.
400 hurdles?
Yeah. Well,
Dilla Muhammad.
Shamir's got a chance.
Are you picking her? No, you're not.
No, I'm going to go Muhammad.
Don't pretend you're picking her. You're picking Muhammad.
I'm just saying. All right, I'm saying it's not.
Men's 400 hurdles. Benjamin.
Rye Benjamin.
Yes. Who did say in, they had like a weird like track warm-up interview where he didn't really know what to do with his legs or hands because he's like trying to have an you don't really have an interview while warming up. It was interesting.
Well, they wanted him to warm up though. That's what was funny.
They wanted him to warm up, but he didn't know how to do it. He was like,
act natural.
Act natural. Yeah,
it was good.
But you mentioned how his dad thinks he's a 200 meter guy. And he said that he would consider maybe, he said, don't be surprised if I do the 200 in 2025. Which was like, ooh, okay. Rye Benjamin, 200 meter.
I don't want to get sidetracked, but what about the 400?
I know, right?
He's pretty
good. He should.
All right, keep going.
He should
keep going.
All right,
is that it?
Women's 5K.
Women's 5K. Revenge of Monson. Alicia Monson.
I'm going Josette Andrews. Men's 5K.
No cranny pick there.
No cranny. Men's 5K.
Men's 5,000. Woody Kincaid.
Yeah.
Heavily influenced by the 10,000 with that pick.
But what about Cooper Tier, man?
I'm going Kincaid.
Yeah, I'll go Kincaid. Who's your team now for the 5K? After watching the 10K?
Man,
who's your team?
It's changed so much. Well, I want to stick with Nur. I think Nur is going to be on it. I think I had Nur, Kincaid, and Fisher, I think. So I'll just.
But does Fisher like?
Yeah,
I'm gonna go Nurk and Cade and Tier.
I think Grant Fisher didn't make the team in part because of a tactical error. So I think that's correctable. That wasn't fitness.
Okay,
that was a tactical issue.
Okay,
so I'll stick with. I think Fisher's gonna make the team.
Okay, I'm doing Kincaid, Nur, and Tier. All right, that's it. Anything else? Did we miss anything? Should we look at the chat?
Hello, chat. No, I've been looking at it the whole time. Someone said hi in the beginning. I didn't want to stop the show to say hello back, but I see it. I see the chats. Someone says the camera on Sid when her brother was racing was something else. Yeah, Taylor McLaughlin, last spot in the four hurdles. That was pretty cool. Donovan says, congrats to Kent Rooks for an insanely cool race. Agreed. That was an awesome race. DC Noel, agree with Gordon on Raven.
There we go.
That's one of those where you've picked but he picks everybody in the race by the end of this thing. But he's like 2 month out predictions this, his 1 week prediction is this, and his ranking says that.
The one prediction though that I've been holding on to that I made last year around this time was that Kenny B was gonna win the world 200 meters. That was the one big prediction. That Kenny B would win the world 200 meters.
Yeah. Right. Oh, B-Boy says Shanae ran, did the heptathlon in the Bahamas, which was awesome. Yeah, maybe we could talk about that on tomorrow's show or maybe Wednesday.
Yeah, we'll probably say that for Wednesday's show. There's so much other stuff going on. There was a wild
track.
Men's 100 at the British Champs in a monsoon with zero wind.
I get it.
No sense.
I get it. I get it, Britain. You guys are tough. Like, you're a hardy bunch. It's like pouring buckets, and there's like, let's shoot the gun and have them run the 100 now. It made for epic images. It was such a cool picture. But I just thought, man, whose decision was this to run this race? Oh, Sarah has a question. Sorry, joining late. But how much faster do you both predict Sid to go for the 400 flat? Okay, Sarah, if you're still there, I have a follow-up question to your question, which will help me answer. Are you talking about this year or the rest of her career?
Let's do this year. We don't have time for talking about 2027. Come on. This year.
No, we have time. Sarah will hopefully respond. No. Andy Reid says, did you guys talk about the rains in London? Yeah, absolutely.
We literally just mentioned it.
DC, no, I know it's a little delayed. DC, no, my media critique, Sid's brother got hammered on the broadcast, but the dude hit the 10th hurdle really hard and lost all his momentum. He didn't just coast in for fun. This was obvious, I thought. Yeah, also, too, it made it seem like he wasn't in, but he did have the last spot. That stuff's hard. I mean, as someone who's called races, not at that level. Some of that stuff's just bang, bang, and you're looking over here and looking over there. But, yeah, he got in and is the last qualifier in. Sarah says this year. How much faster do you think she goes this year?
47.99.
Okay, that's faster than I thought you were going to say. 47.99 all the way down there?
Yeah, it's more fun to say that number than 48.12.
Man, you took my prediction.
Why not just go 13 tenths faster?
So I can't say 48.12. I am going to say I'm going to go 48.4. No.
That's weak. 48.4. Come on. Sydney, she ran 50 seconds.
Yeah.
In a 400 hurdle last year.
I'm going to go down
she
to
just
48.
Started. She's still on. She's still early in her season.
Your prediction. Can I have my prediction? You had your prediction.
Sorry.
I'll go. I think she's, let's say she equals Miller Wavell's. So I'll go 48.36. That's still knocking 0.4 seconds off of a 400.
She ran these 400s back to back to back. So there was zero rest day. She's going to have a rest day at Worlds.
Chris asks, is a thing the favorite now in the 800? I think she was a favorite before. I'm not going to say because she ran the 1500 was awesome and it shows her range, but I think she's more the favorite because Mora beat Hodgkinson and then Mo looked good in her debut in New York. But I still think it's really close between her and Keeley. But she is the favorite for me. Top three for the 200. I'm just doing questions now. Sorry, this is fun. I'm having a good time. Shakari, Gabby, Abby.
Shakari.
Well, what about the men? The men we're going with Chalk, Knighton, Bednarik.
Knighton,
Curly.
Bednarik, Curly, yeah.
All in the game says Perex 48.25 is the standard. That's what he's talking about for Sid. Yeah.
Kenny B did mention that he was hurt. So that's why he hasn't run much. So, but still going to win Worlds.
Thanks, everybody, for hanging out. We appreciate it. We'll be back with one more USA show again, 10 p.m. Central Time on Sunday. Check out the FloTrack YouTube page. Tons of interviews there. Also on the site, there's even more interviews. Can't get enough of the interviews. Shout out to producer Tom for taking care of us this evening. And we will talk to you guys on Sunday.
Peace.